once again, we want to bear in mind that we have to differentiate between operations and definition. Operation is how the gift works, and the definition is what it actually is. And definition is in a single sentence for us to remember. The word of knowledge, which we are covering today, is the revelation of things present or past. And we will look at this word of knowledge by getting some examples from the Bible, and that is from the Old Testament and the New. But the place where it's found again is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Once again, we differentiate between spiritual knowledge and the word of knowledge. Spiritual knowledge comes to the human spirit, small h, small s. Just as spiritual wisdom is an attribute of the spirit man, the human spirit. And the same way, spiritual knowledge is an attribute of the spirit man. Our spirit man know things. And that is not the gift of the Holy Spirit, capital H, capital S. But it is an attribute of the human spirit. The human spirit has a capacity to grow. We were all born again. And our spirit man grows deeper and deeper in God, as Paul prays in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3 for the Ephesians. In chapter 1, he prays that they will have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And then in chapter 3, he prays for the spirit man to be strengthened from within. So the Bible does speaks about our human spirit and how we can grow in knowledge. And so growing has to do with the human spirit, the newborn again human spirit. Whereas the gifts of the Holy Spirit do not come by growth, they drop on us as a gift of the Holy Spirit instantaneously, and they operate as the Spirit will. Few examples of the word of knowledge operating, and they can come in different ways and different operations. Let's look at some examples in the Bible. In the book of Exodus, when Moses was praying or spending time with God up in the mountain, 40 days and 40 nights, he was receiving all the various commands of God, and he has received the Ten Commandments. While he was there, something was happening down the hill of which Joshua knew nothing about. Joshua, remember, was waiting halfway up the hill. And in chapter 32 of Exodus, while Moses was up there, something was happening down in the valley where the people were. They had made a golden calf. They were worshipping the golden calf. And Exodus 32, God spoke to Moses in verse 7 and says, "Go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Now Moses was not looking down, he was talking to God, and God just told him about it. So we see how the operation of the word of knowledge can take place, in which God speaks. God just tells you something, as he spoke to Moses and says, "This is happening down there." And God knew all about it and says, "Your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside." And God wanted to punish the people, and Moses interceded for the Israelites and plead God's covenant in verse 13. And as he was coming down in verse 17. Joshua, who knew nothing about it, so definitely it's a word of knowledge. It was revealed to Moses. And the word of knowledge is not knowledge of past or present that you gather by analysis, by psychology, or by research. It's something that God instantaneously revealed to you. And it's different from the human spirit picking things up. There are two distinctions, and we will show the difference as we go along. So God just told Moses what was happening, and Joshua knew nothing about it. Remember, he was waiting halfway up the mountain in verse 17. And on their way down, Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. He said to Moses, "There is noise of war in the camp." That was not war. Moses knew that it wasn't. It was the people worshipping idols. So that's an example of the word of knowledge just coming forth instantaneously. And Joshua knew nothing about it. Moses knew because he was talking to God. A revelation of God. In a sense, the more you know people, the less sometimes the word of knowledge operates, because you know them by the normal means of communication. Through the human spirit, through the human soul, or through the physical realm, you gather knowledge about them. And so the more you know a person, the harder it is to operate in the word of knowledge. Which explains the phenomena how sometimes in many places, in many ministries, many pastors who travel, at the same time pastor a church. When they travel, they seem to function a lot in the gifts, but within their own church, which they have pastored for 10 years and they know almost everybody, they hardly function in those gifts. Not necessarily because they can't, because there was no atmosphere for them, because they know everybody. And that's why it's exciting sometimes when you bring speakers that don't know you, and then they come and they tell you things about your life, because they just saw you the first time. They don't even know your name. And they just reveal things about your life, and it confirms some things in your life, or it reveals some things that God was dealing with. So that's a supernatural thing that God does. And we need to always allow God to work there. This word of knowledge came about quite easily. God was speaking to Moses all the time, and God just spoke the additional knowledge to him. Let's look at another example here in 1 Samuel, and it has a clearer picture of how the word of knowledge can operate. And this is the case of God choosing another king to replace King Saul. Saul had strayed away from God, and God was about to anoint David as king. It didn't take place until probably about 2 decades later, but God has anointing him to replace King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 is where we pick up the story. 1 Samuel 16. The Lord, in verse 1, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.'" And a word of knowledge is interesting in its operation. God can just speak. Now the second way that we are seeing it operate is it can come part by part. I couldn't find any other phrase besides this to express what it means. It can come a part at a time. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "We know in part, we prophesy in part." And here God reveals to Samuel. And the revelation was that it was among the sons of Jesse. And in verse 2 and 3, Samuel says, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And verse 3, "Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do." Saul had fallen away from God. Here Samuel is about to anoint another king to replace Saul. And God revealed to Samuel that it was the sons, among the sons of Jesse. But God didn't reveal who. And of all the families, Jesse had 8 sons. And so Saul went with that word of knowledge that he had. He zoomed down Samuel. Samuel, what was Saul doing? Samuel zoomed down to one family. And this operation is interesting because this is quite a common occurrence that when God reveals something to you, sometimes He reveals everything to you, all in one shot. Sometimes He reveals part of it at a time, especially if there's a direction involved. And you will not get the second part until you get the first part through, or you act on the first part. And so he knew it was among the sons of Jesse. And Samuel went forth. And when he reached the very place of Bethlehem, he called for Jesse's household in verse 5. He sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab. Eliab, incidentally, was the oldest. And said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now, here's an interesting thing. While he's operating in a word of knowledge, let me draw Samuel's brain, right, if that is possible. But it's very hard to draw the human spirit, right? So, just for sake of definition, there's a human spirit, his spirit man here. Although it's not born again until Jesus comes, the spirit man still exists. Now remember, when we talk about being born again, it doesn't mean that the people in the world who do not know God doesn't have spirits. They do. And the difference is that their spirits are not born again yet. And so sometimes the latent power, the human spirit, still come forth, just like latent power, the soul, that the people who do not know God tap on. So God always works through the spirit, and God is revealing something to him here. But his brain was working, and his brain was interpreting what God was trying to reveal. His brain interprets when he saw it, his eyes. How does his eyes look like? Okay, there he goes. His eyes saw Eliab and says, physically, this must be the one. But immediately something tells him, which is the spirit, says, this is not the one in verse 7. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance. Sadly, it still happens today. But the Lord looks at the heart. And God saw what he wants, and the first son passed by. God didn't say that this was the one. So he says, next, and the second son came by. God didn't say anything. So he says, next, and on it goes. It was almost like a fashion parade, right? And so he said, next, the seventh time, next. And then he came. Obviously, Samuel didn't know who. I mean, he wouldn't go to this fashion parade if he knew who, right? He would say, wait, what God told me is someone named David. And he's out in the pasture right now. Right? It was short circuit the whole process. Imagine how long it took for his seven sons to walk by. And after the seventh one passed by, since he didn't know probably that Jesse had eight sons, I wonder at that time when the seventh son passed by and God was still silent, whether he asked himself the proverbial question that everyone who operates in the gifts of spirit asks. Did I miss God? Did I hear wrongly? And so, when God didn't say anything, Samuel asked Jesse, are all the young men here? He says, oh, there remains one more. Thank God, right? What happened? Is Jesse said, no, there's no more, but my wife is pregnant. He said, wait till the child is born. So, says there's one more son out there, and they bring him all the way. The moment he came in, Samuel had a connection, and he knew that this was the one. In verse 12, the Lord said, arise, anoint him. This is the one. So there was part by part, there were all the seven sons. And then it zooms down to David. So it was a step-by-step process for the word of knowledge to operate. And why does it happen that way? I don't know. I only know that these are some of the operations of the word of knowledge. And if we study how the word of knowledge operates in the Bible, it sometimes helps us to understand how the word of knowledge can operate in our life. and why God's people are not operating more. And sometimes when you see a healing gift that operates together with a word of knowledge, like Catherine Kuhlman, when she operated, it was a word of knowledge combined with the gift of healing. And sometimes what happens is when you operate in a word of knowledge, this is a very common occurrence that it flows like little trickle. Sometimes it's just one big television screen and tells you everything. Sometimes it flows in trickles. And you must take the first step forward in order to get the next one. And the next one. And as you flow in what God wants you to flow, and bring forth whatever revelation God brings forth, it zooms in. And it happens very often in the area of healing, or in a revelation, and for those of you who are moving in the prophetic realm. A lot of times, prophets prophesy generally. I mean, when you tell a person, and God says, do not fear. Wouldn't that verse be a comfort to 99.9% of everybody? But when you have a prophetic word that says that God says that you have just applied for a job, and in 2 weeks you get this very job in this company and in this very place, and the doors will be blue and the building will be grey with yellow little decorations on it. Well, that's very accurate. And you either miss and be a false prophet, or you hit the bullseye, and everybody will be worshipping God, and there's a powerful confirmation. Sometimes it takes time to move into that dimension. A lot of times when prophet move, it is in this area here. And because people don't take the first step, they never see the second. It never even exists as far as they're concerned. Because they never even went to the sons of Jesse. Yes.
Can I ask a question? Some time back, I was in were praying for somebody. We didn't know what they wanted to pray for. We were praying in tongues, and suddenly I got a pain on my back so severe that I didn't know what this pain was. And everybody stopped praying for this person and started praying for me. And I said, no, this is not my pain. God's trying to say something here that evidently was a burden that I put on my back, but the person ended up having a burden for a particular problem, and then someone else had the rest of the knowledge. Like I had the word that there was a burden, like a huge burden, and then someone else brought the rest in.
It is possible for the word of knowledge to come through physical sensations.
Is it?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. And we're going to touch more on that, on the gifts of healing. And usually in that category that we are talking about, when the Holy Spirit works, there's always this area here. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, it's called the manifestations of the Spirit. So there will be a manifestation. Something will become tangible. And we learn about that in the first session, that the tangibility can come through all the five senses. And so that is a sensation, a manifestation that is coming through the sense of touch. And that can happen. And the word of knowledge can come sometimes through a taste. I remember in the early days of the ministry when I'm learning to operate in this manifestation of gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are called manifestations. I was in this place and I had a very particular taste in my mouth. It was not there before. Of course, we always must first eliminate all the natural. Right, so sometimes, you know, suddenly you feel a hot flush go through you. You know, check behind you whether the heater is there. Yeah. Right, and before you say, oh, Holy Ghost, right? And I'm sure you saw some Christian movies or something where everybody was praying and suddenly a cat just jumped by on somebody and all their eyes were closed. They go, and somebody say, I felt the Holy Ghost. It was not. It was just a wild cat running about. So we always must eliminate. That's right. We must always eliminate the natural in order that we do not blaspheme or cause a wrong image of what the gifts of the Holy Spirit is like. Because if it's the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's accurate, it's sharp, it's powerful. And it has the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit involved. And now, yes.
What God is made, Peter, is that it comes out of your mouth and it's nothing that you thought of.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't possibly know.
Yes.
And it's happened to me several times.
That's right.
The other day I was speaking to my hostie.
Yes.
Something like to me. He told me about a terrible accident he'd had that had changed his whole life and how he'd been paralyzed for 3 weeks. And he's telling me this, and all of a sudden I looked in his eyes and said, oh, God was holding you still for a purpose. You're going to do... He was a pentathlete and was telling me how he was going up the scale and he was very good. And I just came out of my mouth that God was going to do something with this. And I hadn't yet sort of led him along the path of Christianity, but he believed me.
Amen.
I didn't think it up.
Yes.
Another
that, yeah.
I thought, where did that come from?
Yes, that is a prophetic way for it to come forth. Mm-hmm. And that's along the path of having it part by part. Mm-hmm. And God just revealed to you. Remember the high priest who prophesied about Jesus, but his meaning was totally different. When Jesus was captured and brought before the high priest, he says that it's expedient for one man to die for the others. But his meaning was he was actually wanting Jesus to die. He's not looking for the salvation that was to come. But yet, within his own words, being high priest, God was anointing him to prophesy about the death of Jesus for everyone. And so it's interesting sometimes how it comes. But as you see, it's part by part. And so in that particular case, when I was having the taste, sometimes it takes a while before we understand the manifestation. So first we have the manifestation, then we have to understand what it means. As we know, the manifestation can come through any of your five senses. And you've got to eliminate the natural causes. And then when you understand what the manifestation is, you can go to the third step, the application. And so I had that taste come several times, but I did not understand what it meant. But through time, God began to show me that that was the taste of death. And so the next time when we were ministering, and we could sense, then I traced back after about 3-4 times it occurred. After 3-4 times, I traced back and I noticed that of all the 3 times, there was one common factor. The people were either almost dying, fighting death, or they died. And so God was trying to tell me something, not through my head, not through my mind, not through my understanding, but through one of the manifestations of the Spirit. So there can be many manifestations. I don't think we have covered all or everybody has experienced everything yet. There are many manifestations that the word of knowledge can come through. In the area of part by part in the ministry and the gift, one of the favorite ways in which as you begin to minister unto the Lord is sometimes when you begin to zoom in on some things as you see some prophets operating, and when they zoom in on a person and they could be talking about some things in the spirit, and then as they talk about something, it leads to another thing, and becomes more and more accurate. And that's how people give what I call prophetic words for individuals. And we will look at a word of knowledge and the rules behind a word of knowledge that it has to operate. So here is an example in Samuel of it coming part by part. Now, as when the word of knowledge comes, it's important because isn't it powerful that you know the past and the present of certain things? And how we handle it is very important. Let's take an example here of the book of 2 Samuel. When David had fell into sin, and God, only David and Bathsheba knew about that sin, but God knew. Of course, God sees everything. The sin occurred in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, God revealed it to a prophet called Nathan. So Nathan had a word of knowledge of what had happened. And it's important how we'll deal with the word of knowledge and how we operate, because knowledge is a very powerful thing. And if people begin to use it without love and condemnation, it is completely out of tone with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. And that's not the way the word of knowledge is supposed to operate. It's not supposed to operate in the sense that you got word of knowledge about somebody's sin and then you say, you better repent or all that, and be very cruel, judgmental and full of condemnation about it. And it's not the Spirit of Christ. And Remember how Christ approached a woman at a well. He already knew, I believe, at the beginning what her life was. She had 5 husbands, and the one she's living with is not even her husband. But do you find a single word of condemnation? No. Because Jesus is always interested in restoration, not condemnation. And sometimes when a young Christian, because the gifts of Spirit operate, no matter you're young or old, when a young Christian have the gift of the Holy Spirit, they become proud or they use it to condemn others or judge others. And that is wrong. Now let's close in this session with 2 Samuel chapter 12 here. And basically, he reveals the word of knowledge about David's sin, and he used a parable. And in fact, in verse 13, David says, "I have sinned against the Lord." And then Nathan immediately says, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." But there was a penalty that was involved. You can see that the purpose is restoration and not condemnation. Praise God. Amen. Let's just close.